The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, and when Abiathar was high priest, and ate of the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." And then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they may accuse him. And he said to the man who was with the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger, and he was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let's get straight to the point. What's the very heart of the matter? Give me the bottom line. Have you ever heard any of these phrases before? How many have used some of these phrases before? Yeah. Maybe too many times. Yeah, I know. I like to use these phrases every once in a while. Okay, maybe more often than what I'd like to admit. But what can I say? And maybe you've been the recipient of me saying some of these lines. Give me the bottom line, right? Or let's get straight to the point here. That's in essence what Jesus is doing in today's gospel from Mark. He's beginning to experience some opposition from the religious leaders. He's approaching religious teachings in a way that strips them down to the basics, the bottom line, if you will, or their very heart, and why the certain religious teachings, laws, and practices really matter for people's day-to-day life. And the religious authorities, they don't like it because they want to exercise their power and as a way to control others. They have a different interpretation of the law as a result. And it's sort of ironic that Jesus' confrontations are not with people outside his faith tradition, right? His main opposition comes from within his own faith tradition. And I think he would find the same today if he were to come back, especially with we Episcopalians. Jesus, you're starting to push the envelope a little too much here. Come on. And it's important to note that at this point in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is a real threat to what the religious leaders have worked tirelessly to preserve for a very long time. The ramp up to the confrontation reflects how Jesus is gaining credibility among the masses, among the everyday people, and how he is doing so at a rapid pace. He's the Energizer Bunny, powered by the ultimate lithium Energizer battery. He's going really, really fast here. For example, in the first chapter alone, Jesus is baptized, he is tempted, he then announces his ministry, he calls his disciples, casts out an unclean spirit, heals many people gathered at Simon Peter's home, goes on a preaching tour, and cleanses a leper, all in a mere 45 verses. The other gospel writers, like Luke, Matthew, John, they could not do that in 45 verses. He packs a lot in. But Mark then introduces a new element in these stories, and that is the beginning of the opposition. Jesus begins to share his thoughts about what is most important about practicing the faith, and in this case, Sabbath. He gets to the heart of the matter real quick. He gets straight to the point regarding how to practice Sabbath keeping, reserving time to rest and renew in the presence of God. Please note that he's not throwing that out, the practice of Sabbath. This isn't a get out of Sabbath free card, okay? He's all about it. He's just concerned about how it's being interpreted by certain people. And he's not trying to promote his own version of Jewish light, all right? Just like Episcopalians, we are not Catholic light. We can be very serious about our faith too, right? Jesus is simply saying, yes, we need to designate time to rest and refresh, but we shouldn't take the practice so legalistic that we ignore real human need. That's why he's okay with the disciples plucking the grain and then eating it on the Sabbath. They need to eat. That's why he heals the man's hand at the temple, because the man has a real need. So Jesus says, yes, we'll get back to praying and resting, but this man has, that man can't rest and pray when his hand is throbbing, right? But some thought such actions violated Sabbath-keeping law. So Jesus then challenges them by saying, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Boom. That's a good line. I'm going to start making that one of my lines I use, you know. I'll reinterpret it for different things. As biblical scholar David Luce summarizes, God gives us the law to help us get the most out of life, and in particular to help us get more out of life by helping others, by looking out for them, by taking care of them, and by extension, each other. In this way, the law creates a level of order that makes human flourishing more likely. Law offers a measure of protection, particularly important to the most vulnerable. Law establishes a stability that makes it easier for all to prosper. And that's what Jesus is reminding the Pharisees about. We do Sabbath so that all people can rest, not just a select few. Or that that when real human need surfaces, that's Sabbath keeping in and of itself, so that they can in turn obey and abide by the Sabbath keeping laws. But as important as practices are, or the law in this case, and shall always be, it's always a means to an end. It's a tool, it's a mechanism in service to a greater purpose. It is not an end in itself. Following religious practice, observance, law, politics even, is not in and of itself the purpose of the law. And the law is not capable of granting us our identity, but only helps us live into the identity that is given to us by God as beloved children of God. That's why God wants us to be rest and renewed, so that we can reflect his identity in the world. And that's where these good religious folk, and many of us good religious folk, get confused. We mistake the religious practice or tradition for its end. We sometimes establish our own identity on our ability to practice faith, or live a certain way, or practice a certain type of politics a certain way. And we think that everybody else should do the same, just like us. Rather than use our faith or our approach to life in general to help those we would compare ourselves against. The reason I think we do this and the religious leaders at odds with Jesus do this is because we fear that our own understanding of faith or life or politics or values somehow will be jeopardized, or there may be a flaw in them if other people aren't practicing them. So out of our own insecurity, we think if we hold the law or values so close, even to the point of ignoring real human need, we'll be okay, or we are demonstrating a true commitment to whatever it is. But Jesus has a different take on the purpose of religion and life. Only when we abandon our own claims to righteousness and are willing to put our neighbor's need above our own, that we truly live into God's dream and desire that all God's children will flourish. So over this next week, as you interact with this sacred text, I invite you to reflect on two questions. The first one is, how am I encouraging the betterment of life for myself and others with my values, religious practices, words, and actions? Because it's all about life according to Jesus. And if those things aren't promoting life, then why are you doing them, right? In other words. And the second question is, how can I honor my own convictions without judging or expecting others to have the same convictions? Today's gospel is a universal story because it's our story, all of it. And we need to hear it again and again, not just the part that diagnoses our own shortcomings, though that is kind of important, but the whole story. And especially at the very end, because Jesus actually doesn't give up on the Pharisees. He still wants to work with them. He wants to change their hearts and their minds, to expand their vision of the world and religious practice. And guess what? Jesus doesn't give up on any of us either. He refuses to give up even on me and you. And that really is the bottom line. The specific point, the very heart of the matter. Amen.
Amen.